That's going to do.
A mighty work through me tonight.
A mighty work through me tonight.
Because my eyes are open. My ears are open. My heart is perceiving. You've got a word for me. In Jesus' name. As you can probably figure out, the book from Paul Keith, Thrones of the Soul, God's not done with us. Okay? This book was written many years ago, but it has a lot of ammunition about us going deeper. And so I heard today, page 67, and it came early this morning. I kind of went through it a little bit, and I heard, just let it go, just let it go. So I want to back it up to page 66, okay? And we're going to go to Matthew 13:30. Allow both to grow together until the harvest. Because you see, I believe this word is connected to the vision from Sunday. Okay? The vision from Sunday actually was concerning the wheat. Okay? But if you back it up to the harvest of the tares, it's difficult to understand sometimes because we're so focused on the good stuff, we forget that the tares are growing along with the wheat. So the harvest of the tares, the admonition given to me during this difficult season, was to continue crying out to God for his mercy and grace to burn and consume all seeds of sin and corruption. I had often read the passage concerning the harvest of the tares as it related to humanity, but I had never associated it with an individual life and the harvest of tares within each of us. Matthew 13:30. Allow both to grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first, gather up the tares. Notice it's first. Gather up the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now, if you remember the vision from Sunday, the wheat was in a bundle. Then it came down and the fire came. And each one of those wheat pieces were literally on fire, if I remember correctly. Why are they on fire? Because obviously, if there's any tares connected or any pieces of it that are not perfect, they're going to get burned up.
Right.
So now, many within the body of Christ have been going through a similar process in order to achieve a place of heightened relationship and friendship with the Lord following this refining work, which is what getting to know him is all about. Because you're going to find your mouth going in the wrong direction when you least expect it. And when that happens, you say, oh my God, what do? I cry out for mercy and grace. See, the formula is needed in order to overcome. If you think you can do this on your own by being a good boy or a good girl, you've got news coming. He's going to take you for a ride because he's got something he can push and do it again and again and again. And then you're in anger against yourself. And that's not God. Okay? So many within the body of Christ have been going through a similar process in order to achieve a place of heightened relationship and friendship with the Lord. Following this refining work, the Lord is looking for a house in which he can dwell and find rest. He is continuing to search for a place to rest his head. His headship is not in most believers. It is self-head pressure tactics. of me, myself, and I serving my own plan rather than his because it's comfortable. Got it? He is continuing to search for a place to rest his head that will be the place of revelation of his government. He does not merely desire to move through us, but to rest in us. This is the explanation of when he's resting in me, my responses are going to be different. My reactions are going to be different. I will be more flexible. And I won't be irritating myself. Because what the enemy is looking to do is to get you upset about you. Then you can't love yourself because you think it's you that's using yourself. Instead of recognizing that it's one of those tears that the enemy is acting up on.
Ouch.
It's the truth.
I know.
And when you know that it's available to be burned, then you've got a future. And you've got a future that's going to create freedom that you never tasted until you go into that ship. See, there's a battle in every ship. And in every leader, he's going to have to be trained in leadership. That's him, not me.
Right.
He does not merely desire to move through us, but to rest in us. This process is essential for the dying of the old man, the Adamic man, the Adamic woman, and the emergence of the new, according to Galatians 2:20. For the many who embrace this process, the Lord is going to appoint you over the nations and over the kingdoms, to pluck up, to break down, to destroy, to overthrow, to build and to plant. Jeremiah 1:10. So that's your future. But if you're focused on me, myself, and I, you'll never do to any of this. You'll never complete it because you're not in submission. His head is not directing your agenda and your plans. You are, and you're doing what comes naturally. Well, in case you forgot, you've got a history. Parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, all those weaknesses, many of them are in you as tares. You didn't have anything to do. They came with the package.
Out again.
They came with the package. True. It's not because you want them.
It's true.
They came. Now, while you're upset with yourself and you're angry at yourself, do you think you're going to go any deeper? No way. You're going to be so upset, you're going to be unhappy, and God can't do anything in you until you repent and change your mind about yourself. And you're going to have to love, number one, when it's going to cost you your brains. It's going to cost you your mind and your mental strongholds. They need to come out. They need to be burned up. And those angels are waiting to you to submit, because if you don't submit, they will not act, because they're going to let you do the controlling. While you're doing the controlling, you're not at rest. You're at work cleaning your own act up. And being honest, the Lord probably pulls back, puts his feet up, and he says, you know, maybe he'll wake up down the road. Until then, there's nothing to say to him. He's not going to say faithful servant at that point, because you're trusting in
yourself.
Thank you. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, not your own, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. Hebrews 10, verse 35 through 37. Again, I repeat, do not throw away your confidence. Which confidence are you into? Are you into your own confidence? That I can do? That's what you were trained to do. That's the law. all the legal stuff of religion. It's the law. And it brings death and anger and resentment and bitterness against yourself. Because you walk out of that service feeling guilty, you're now going to try to do something about the future, and you can't. Because you're not the Lord. You might act like the Lord, you might react like the Lord, but he's not the Lord of your mind at that point. You're still in the control room. So again, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, when you have done the will of God, it's when you decide to let him rule. When you decide that his head is better than yours. And so is his ways, right?
Why do we keep putting our, you know, testing the waters the other way once in a while, just to...
You inherited that.
I know, but I'm like, every single time, it's still, that was not a good idea.
Uh-huh. But it sounded good at the time.
Yes.
Okay. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. Hebrews 10:35-37. Our encouragement and the joy set before us is the inheritance of our promises to be one with him. When I'm one with him and I'm in harmony with him, I get my instructions from him. Holy Spirit downloads the truth, and boy, what a successful day I'm going to have. Now I want you to take a deep breath right now and put your right hand over your heart. Say, Holy Spirit, there's an adjustment that's needed inside of me. And I can't do this work because I've tried and I've failed. And I was upset with me. And sometimes I was upset with you. Because you didn't come through. Because I dictated to you. Forgive me, Father. The mind of Christ is needed tonight. So that the headship will be Jesus in me. The hope of glory. Not Kim or me in charge. Can't blame the pastor for everything. Can't blame me for everything. Because my battle is not against flesh and blood. There's some tares in the way. I need some angels to take care of this mess. That's what they were sent for. Hebrews 1, verses 7 and 14. The angels are ministering spirits to minister to my spirit, to clean up my heart. Because I tried and it doesn't work. But he can do a mighty work. He's got angels to do something I can't do. And I've been waiting to receive him in a new level. And today's the day. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord is now granting the divine opportunity to allow his spirit to purge and extract every tendency towards corruption, becoming partakers of the divine nature, free from the corruption of this world and its lusts. As long as we walk in this world, housed in a tabernacle of flesh, we will continually need to have our feet washed. Mm-hmm. However, that does not mean we must allow Satan to have a place of dominion and control over any department of our lives. In John 14:30, the Lord announced that Satan was coming to him, yet he, Satan, had no place in the Lord. In other words, there were no seeds of corruption to exploit in the Lord's nature. Cool, huh? Satan had no dominion or doors of opportunity through which he could enter to cause corruption or collapse of the Father's purpose for my life. Wow. When Papa's in charge and he downloads the truth, you're going to know it. And when he downloads that truth, you're going to go a lot deeper. And you'll be able to be what he's called you to be, even if it's an apostle. See, we think with this mind, which is filled with the old patterns. And when we think with those old patterns, we think it's going to be okay because we did it ourselves. But it feels good.
For the moment.
Well, of course, for the moment.
Short moment.
Yeah, but sometimes it's short, sometimes it takes a little more time because he lets you stew in it a little bit. See, if I hadn't been there, I wouldn't be able to help you. Okay. There was in the Lord no principle or feeling that agreed with Satan, and nothing, therefore, by which he could prevail. Wow. Isn't that good? Impurity only has power when there are some principles residing in us which are in agreement with the design of the tempter. And which may be stimulated by presenting corresponding objects until our virtue is overcome. Where there is no such propensity, corruption has no power. Isn't that cool? So when he gets done cleaning us up, we're going to be able to do what he did. But he's the one that's got to do the cleaning. You and I do the submission. I just hit a brick wall right now. Okay? That word, submission, is to really give in to the Holy Spirit to have full control of your mouth and of your heart and of your emotions. So that your soul will be under the anointing of your spirit instead of your soul being directed how your spirit can continue. Because you've never let go.
Right.
You've never let him be the Lord. Because you were full of fear of losing control, you ended up controlling just to survive. And it's not God that's surviving. It's the negative forces that use you, bring you into depression, bring you into sad experiences and hopelessness, and you will go down and down and down. Yeah. And you'll go back into works in order to feel good about yourself.
That's right. Amen. It's true.
Amen.
And while you're doing all that work, he's saying, are you enjoying yourself or are you getting tired? Tired.
It's exhausting.
It is exhausting. And that's what he did. That's a gift to you. James 1 says, is your life full of difficulties and trials of many kinds? Then rejoice. Well, that doesn't make sense to rejoice when you've got headaches and problems. But if you run to him, that headache or that problem is going to be solved by him if you give it to him.
Why are you?
Okay. I'm going to give you a little testimony. My oldest son, for about a year and a half, has been upset with one of my neighbors because they did not follow the guidelines of the town of Palmer. And they put up a pool. And when they put up a pool, they had a disabled young woman, which is the daughter of one of the ladies. And they put it very close to our boundary. And my son said, when are you going to tell that neighbor that that pool's got to go? I said, well, since you don't live here and you're not the authority over this land, I will deal with this the way that it's supposed to be dealt with when I'm ready. So it's not you that needs to speak. So maybe these are not the exact words, but you get the point. I said, I will take care of it. So a few weeks went by, and I said, Lord Jesus, you know, this whole situation about that pool, I'm just going to give that to you, because I'm not going to upset that family, because they've just moved into this area. They don't need another critic. They already have issues on all kinds of, you know, places. There's a lot of kids, and they're beautiful kids, and I love them. So you deal with this. Well, now, a year has gone by, and a state inspector was called in because they're having some repairs done on the house. Well, guess what the inspector said?
Move the pool.
So my son came over last week. He said, well, did you say something? I said, I told the Lord all about it. And he took the whole thing in his hands. And Rick did not want to hear that. He kind of stormed out the back door. I said, you can storm all you want, son, but I'm not going to lay this one down on anybody else but you. You did what you did. You had your opinion. I did what I knew to do. And the Lord did the whole thing, and I had nothing to say, nothing to do. He did it. I rested. I rested. So that to me is a big miracle. So now they have a brand new grandbaby. In the middle of all the sand, it's now become the baby sandbox. There's a shooty shoot and a swing. That's the baby's only 4 months old. Sitting there in the middle of the sand, it's quite a vision. And I said to the Lord, this is so cool. This is so cool. Only God. Only God. So the Lord, spirit, soul, and body were under the complete lordship of the Father, thus allowing perfect fellowship with the Father that the Lord Jesus so earnestly cherished. The scriptures promise we can likewise live in a blessed place through the awesome power of redemption and sanctification. If we will willingly yield, if I will willingly yield all departments of my life to his dominion. Say ouch. Again, just close your eyes for a moment. Say, I choose by an act of my will to yield all the departments of my life to his dominion. This is a rehearsal, Lord. If it's really meant in my heart, then I'll repeat it when I'm one-to-one with you. Take a deep breath. Let it go. Holy Spirit, I give that whole package to you. Because all the departments of my life, I still see Kim involved in it once in a while. And I don't like it. So I'm purposing to release it to you again in Jesus' name. Like the original seed, when the time came for the Lord to be glorified through the sacrificial offering of his life, he made it clear that his life was likened unto a grain of wheat. He taught that if this grain of wheat falls into the earth and perishes, it is for the purpose of bringing forth multiplied grains of wheat like the original seed. There's your vision again. John 12:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Notice he says, truly, truly, meaning double. Okay? Whenever you see truly, truly, or I repeat, It's because he wants to stress something to me and you. Okay? It is our high call. Okay, I'm going to repeat it again. Say it with me. Truly, truly.
Truly, truly.
Jesus says to me.
Jesus says to me.
Unless a grain of wheat.
Unless a grain of wheat.
Falls into the earth.
Falls into the earth.
And it dies.
And it dies.
It remains by itself alone.
It remains by itself alone.
But if it dies.
But if it dies.
It bears much fruit.
It bears much fruit.
So if I die to myself.
So if I die to myself.
The fruit are going to come. It is our high calling to emerge as one of the grains of wheat. There's your vision again, girl. Like the original seed, who will begin to demonstrate and teach the kingdom design in the earth and walk before the Father with a purified spirit and soul. That's your goal. A purified spirit. And a purified soul. That's your mind, your will, and emotions. What a victory that will be when it's completed in me. I say when. Because I'm still resting. And sometimes I wrestle. You know the biggest wrestling? Is to try to let it go when you know certain things you could possibly do to correct it on your own. And you've got to remember that if you gave this problem to the Lord, He will direct your thoughts to get it completed. But when the house cleaning is done, when He gets done with it, it's going to be totally clean. There'll be no seeds left for it to grow back. There is a present move of the Holy Spirit to prepare a company of overcomers to experience the revelation of His kingship and give expression to that unveiling to the body of Christ, ushering in and birthing the kingdom of God in the earth. That is proceeding. The Bible teaches that when the Lord returns, we are to be like Him. Well, He's not going to return with a bunch of yo-yos. He's going to return when we are ready to see Him in us, and He'll have a home in us because we are related. In my Catholic background, I think I started to say the Lord's Prayer, in French obviously, when I was probably like 3. That's roughly when I began, because my mother was diligent, and so was my dad. So, when I got Spirit-filled, not when I was born again 10 years before, but when I was Spirit-filled, the Lord showed me that I knew Him when I was 7. He showed me that. Now, was it a relationship? I would say part-time. Okay? But when the Holy Ghost came in, I can remember saying the Lord's Prayer from a remote or rote way of speaking. And the Holy Spirit arrested me and said, stop. He said, now you're going to personalize that prayer and make it my Father who is in heaven. And I've shared that with you before. But I can only say that even if I knew it by rote, that when I tried to say it slowly with personalized words, I couldn't do it. It wouldn't come out of my mouth. I would stifle. And then I'd have to repeat it from memory and then change the words as I went forward. And finally, I got angry. So I wrote it all out. And I typed it out, and I said, oh my God, it's a lot easier this way. And so that's when the relationship with Papa became a little more real. Because I was personalizing the prayer. It was my prayer to my Papa. And it took a while. So I had to be patient with me. Got it? The Bible teaches that when the Lord returns, we are to be like him. Holy Spirit residing in us will reveal the same attributes through us that he did in the Lord Jesus Christ. He had perfect fellowship with Papa. And he is bringing forth multiplied grains of wheat like himself. I'm not going to say it again. But do you see it? Who will know that level of intimacy with him that he had with the Father? In fact, that is what we are commissioned to do. We are the vessels through which the light of God will shine into the midst of a dying earth. The lady at Marshall's was so happy about having a little hope that something could be cleared up. And I told her about my experience at the gas station, which was not a pretty one. And she says, that's what I got to go after this. She says, I said, well, you better pray. So it was a cool experience to return something that didn't work. I could have got upset that it didn't work. But did I realize it was going to be a divine appointment at the counter? No. Lift your hands to him. Say, I got a message, Lord. Now it's got to become real. It's got to be mine. And I trust you, Holy Spirit. Bring it back to me. A little bit at a time. Because there's a lot to digest. But I want it. I want to be able to rest. And trust by choice that you're on my case. The wheat is there, and the tares are being blown away, and they will all be burned as I rest with you. In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray.